Welcome everyone to another episode of the Noisecast. I am your host, your tired and exhausted host, Alberto. And as always, we have Paul checking in. Paul, say hello to everyone.
Hey, I am also tired and exhausted. I remember used to back in my 20s, I would stay up till like 2 a.m. playing video games or just doing what the fuck ever. Now by like 9, I'm already faded. I'm like, okay, it's 9. I want to go get me a cup of milk and I want to go to bed.
Yeah, no, I totally hear you. I am definitely hitting that point in my day where, like, right now we're recording this at roughly 9 o'clock Eastern. And between daylight savings and just, commitments at work, I feel like I have hit that wall where I'm just like, I am about ready to call it a whole week, never mind a whole night. And it's only Monday. So that's the worst part about it. I still got to find a way to, get through the rest of the work week.
Well, it always takes everybody a few days after daylight savings time. Truthfully, I'm happy for it, though. I don't care if it's light on my way to work or whatever. I'd like it being light till 7 or 8 p.m. That just makes me feel more alive.
You know, I hear you. I definitely hear you on that. But interestingly enough, there is a senator, I think, in... I'm gonna mess this up, and whoever your senator is, apologies in advance because I'm not even gonna bother to Google it. But there is a senator that was trying to push for basically making ending daylight savings time and just keeping us an hour ahead forever.
Interestingly enough, Georgia did pass a referendum regarding that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's kind of hard for one state to do because that would just create a lot of issues with scheduling and everything like that if everybody else was Eastern except for Georgia or whatever.
Yeah. And so, like, I believe Arizona doesn't abide by daylight savings.
Like, I think Arizona doesn't, but they never have. So it's, I guess it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, I am at a point where I am like, I would love for... So, and this is like a... Maybe this is a mental thing, but like, I feel like I'd be okay with it as long as I get to keep my quote-unquote hour extra of sleep. And I would be willing to sacrifice the hour of daylight.
I don't really care. Just keep it one way or the other.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. And, you know, it's funny because like the there is a good reason to do away with daylight savings in general, like whether you keep the hour or not. Usually there is a higher instance of traffic accidents in the 5 days following the time shift, whether you go back or forward.
And that actually makes...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
That makes complete sense because yesterday morning I was a little groggier than I normally am that time of morning. I'm an early riser, but even the change just threw me off a bit.
Yeah, and what it is, it's, you know, it's very true. Human beings are creatures of habit. So, you know, once we get into the rhythm of something, whether it's the rhythm of we have an extra hour of daylight or we have an extra hour of quote-unquote sleep, the truth is that it throws us off, even if it's quote-unquote to our benefit. You know, it does make sense, like, you know, aside from, and this is kind of from like where my day job bleeds into like out of work stuff. But even, you know, in workplaces, like this is a serious, it's a serious problem because you have people who are working with heavy machinery, who are working in, you know, otherwise dangerous environments where, unfortunately, the difference between being groggy and being alert is the difference of you coming home or not, or coming home maimed. So, you know, like I definitely see it as a net benefit to, you know, push this conversation forward. Again, my personal preference is we keep it to regular standard time and, you know, I get the quote unquote extra hour of sleep. But honestly, if we just make a decision one way or the other, that'd be great. Because let's face it, we're not, we're not relying on the train, the Continental Railroad anymore. We've moved past that. So I think we can move past this extra hour thing.
You know, daylight savings time has kind of made this week a little bit not as good. But you know what's made this a really good week, though?
What's that?
The stimulus. I'm so excited for that. $2,800, dude.
You know what? I am with you. And this is a me being me, because I procrastinate with just about everything. I haven't filed my taxes yet, and I know that's the reason why we haven't gotten our stimulus check yet. So, give me them stimulus bucks. I'm ready for it. Listen, this would be the year where a return would be so appreciated. My wife and I just finished paying off our car, so yay! We can now have anxiety about saving up for a house. So the stimulus check would be very, very nice right now.
I'm looking forward to mine. Speaking of taxes, I'm going to have to use it to pay my taxes. I'm getting a check back from the government, and I'll probably end up paying part of it back to the government.
Uncle Sam giveth and Uncle Sam taketh away.
Exactly. As long as I have enough for a PlayStation 5, I'm happy.
And there you go. It's funny because, and I am not creeping on your timeline like that, Paul, but I believe you mentioned something along the lines of it shouldn't be this difficult to get a PlayStation 5. I couldn't agree with you more. Like, I know we just talked about it in our last episode, but it is a little ridiculous, like, at this point where, we're nearing on 4 months after the launch of the PlayStation 5, and you still have to pay, a hefty premium if you want to buy one, just because none of these retail outfits can get their shit together. And that's a damn shame.
I've just signed up for Twitter alerts. I found a lot of accounts that tweet once they hit. But even then, almost got lucky today. I got one in my cart, and then I tried to check out, and it wasn't there anymore.
Yeah, I was pissed. I want to say it was Friday. It was either Thursday or Friday last week where Walmart got some. No, Friday, because it's Walmart. Walmart and Best Buy only get them on Fridays for some reason. Tuesdays and Fridays. So, insider sip. And if one of you lovely listeners happens upon a PlayStation 5 and you got it because of that tip, let me know, because I want to play the game. I went onto the website, onto Walmart's website. I got it in my cart, and no lie, I was going to do this through PayPal, where I have the one button click option to buy things. That took too long, and before I could check out, it was gone. Best Buy was worse. Where they told you when they were going to announce them. Like, I think the tweet went out at 3 p.m. on Friday, and literally at 3:01, there were no more available. In less than a minute, all 300 in-stock items were gone. And I don't know how much of this falls on Sony for just not having enough stock before they can, they put this out to market, and how much of it falls on retail outfits that can't seem to fight off the bots. So, I don't know. I don't know if the answer here is, you can only buy it in a store, and, you make the purchase online, but you have to pick it up. There's no shipping or what, but like, something's got to give, because I know for a fact I'm being beaten to the punch by every 12-year-old with a bot that's reselling this on eBay.
It does seem to be becoming more frequent, though. I will say that these drops are becoming more frequent. Mm-hmm. But that's another goal of a stimulus. Is there any other toys you got your eye on with those stimulus bucks?
Believe it or not, no. I think this at this point in my current adult life, I'm actually more so thinking that if I got that stimulus today, I would more than likely put that towards another apartment. Like I would break my lease tomorrow if I could get me into a better apartment.
Is your apartment kind of shit now?
It's not so much. You know what it is? There are some ongoing things with the rental management office. And I would really, if I could just walk away and it'd be worth my while, I'd do it. But because I'm in a lease and I would forfeit my deposit, I would rather make life hell for them than to just give them free money.
That's fair. That's fair. Stick it to the man.
Yeah. And, you know, again, like, you know, part of the problem is that there's a number of things that they should have fixed that they haven't. There are a number of, there was a number of heat issues with them earlier in the winter. And it's funny because now when you have 60 degree weather, I find it funny that, you know, the heat is blasting. So, fun times. So
that's definitely a problem. That's hopefully they're able to get it fixed soon. But with the leases, a lot of times they just don't even care because what are they going to do? Fight them in court?
Yeah, exactly. And the truth is that right now, even if it were to go to court, we're looking at months of backlog. So I would then, instead of pay my rental company, I'd be paying the city. And they'll hold my money until we get our day in court. And then maybe it goes our way, maybe it doesn't. And even then, they might still end up with the money. So it's just like, yeah, if I had the stimulus tomorrow, I'd probably be looking to move by the end of the month.
But you keep saying if you had the stimulus tomorrow. Interestingly enough, though, there is a tracker. I have been able to see when I was going to get mine by entering some basic information.
Oh, is that the IRS site?
Yeah.
I have to check it. Like, honestly, I haven't. It's not that I haven't been looking out for it. I just haven't had a chance to look for it myself. So I definitely will be doing that probably at the end of this call.
No, I it's just the fact that this month I get a bonus, my annual bonus, my wife gets her annual bonus, then we get the stimulus.
Sweet.
So this month is just nice.
Yeah, no, like, that's some good living right there, Paul.
It's like I'd be going into McDonald's and offering to fix their ice cream machine for them.
It's just like, yo, I got this money. Like, we gonna make these McFlurries or what? So
exactly. Like, who I need to call?
There you go. Oh man, this is dope though. Like, I'm happy for you guys. That's like perfect timing.
It really is. So
it's funny. So if you're looking at this this video clip right now, which funny enough, I actually decided that we're going to post up some of these video chats on the Patreon page, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. It's funny because if you're seeing this now, you'll see me kind of like going back and forth. What that is the office chair that I'm sitting on just rolls back. Like it's the most annoying thing, but I'm constantly like rolling back and forth. So it's just like, it's not an optical illusion thing. And I'm not trying to make anybody like dizzy, but that's kind of what's going on here.
I just thought it was like an ADD kind of thing. Maybe you were jacked up on coke. I wasn't sure.
Both are possible. Both are very possible at times, especially with the last couple weeks that I've had. Yes. That's an option too, Paul.
I don't know. Coke's a rich man's drug. I don't know about all that.
It's just like, it's like buying organic, right? I don't know. I can't even make that. I can't even make the connection. I clearly don't do enough drugs. Speaking of things I cannot make a connection with, what the hell is NFT?
It's, are you familiar with Bitcoin, the way Bitcoin kind of works?
Yeah, on a very rudimentary level. Like, me and my 5-year-old nephew can probably give you the same description as to how Bitcoin works.
Well, essentially, it's an algorithm. a specific mathematical equation that says this amount of money is here and this, and it's just servers doing the same, doing equations over and over again, getting that currency to equal that currency. Now you're getting into more of the same thing, but with other kinds of files, basically, like JPEGs, video clips, animations, all kinds of things. Just this week, there was some JPEG painting that I think it sold for $69 million.
Oh, nice. So why would anyone want to buy a thing that I guess doesn't tangibly exist for $69 million?
I truthfully wonder the same thing. I guess it's the same idea as having those numbered paintings you get from an actual artist, like number one of 250 or whatever, because it's that same concept. Because of the equation, because of the algorithm, that piece of art that you own is the only one, regardless of the fact that there are all these other copies.
Okay. All right, so here's something that, you know, and we spoke about this before we started recording. So who actually owns this stuff? So, you know, I understand that the artist may make a thing, even if it's like digital art, like it's still a thing, right? Like it's a file. But once, like if I buy that file, like is it mine in the sense that I can then use it however I want? Like say, for example, if I wanted to loan it to a museum or display it for a fee, would I be able to do that, or like kind of the jury's still out on that?
I think the jury's still kind of out on that, because the issue is going to be with some of these established IPs. Like let's say, for example, I download a GIF of Mickey Mouse and then sell that GIF as an NFT. I still don't think Disney's going to be a fan of that.
Right, right.
Just as an example, I use Disney because Disney is famously litigious.
Yeah,
Then you run into some issues with people just taking their friend's art, downloading it, and selling it as their own.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of... Like I guess like that's my biggest question about how NFT is really taking off. Like it's taking off, it seems, without having fully thought of the repercussions of what it's doing. So like, you know, like if the artist is the person who profited from the 69 million art sale, digital art sale, great, you know, more power to you. But what happens if it's my art that is then being sold and I have no say in it? You know, what recourse would I have? And I'm assuming that the answer is probably none, especially not at this stage.
It doesn't seem like you would have any at this stage. And as someone that kind of identifies as a hippie, like I'm a vegetarian, I do all the green recycling and everything. I also just think of the enormous power use, like Bitcoin, the amount of power being consumed by Bitcoin now is astronomical. It is more than many countries.
Yep.
For something that I don't want to say is worthless, but has no practical value.
Yeah. And I get what you're saying. Like, you know, like it's, you know, I know a lot of people will argue, you know, well, why is the dollar or the yen valuable and Bitcoin isn't? But you know, there is, it's a little bit weird because it's something that's not tangible in any real way, right? Like it's not like you know, we talk about crypto wallets, like they're a thing, but they're really, you know, not a physical thing necessarily. And you know, this money, like the value attached to it, exists because we say it does. I'm assuming that it's a similar idea with NFT, where it's just like, yeah, it's a thing that, you know, cannot be changed or altered, but it's really valuable because we say it is, not because there's any inherent value in it.
But also, one of the big problems of Bitcoin and NFT and everything like that is what makes the dollar and yen and euro successful is the stability.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for the most part, you can see the chart, you can see how things are going to change. Now, let's compare that to Bitcoin.
I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Like, I to a very real extent, I had an opportunity to get into Bitcoin, like actually purchase Bitcoin when Bitcoin was at or around like the $400 mark. And I am kicking myself because I probably could have bought 10 Bitcoin at the time and, you know, probably not have to go to work at this point.
Well, I think that's always the idea, is you can easily kick yourself, but looking back at it, it easily could have went the other direction.
Yeah. And, like,
there's so many other things, because even last week I saw people getting on the damn Dogecoin train when Elon Musk tweeted about it.
Oh, man. Like, I tell everybody, I had a Dogecoin once and it was in a hard drive I no longer own.
Like it can just easily go that way, because let's just say that did not take off like a rocket ship.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, like, you know, honestly, you know, any form of investing really is just a nice way of, it's something we say to make ourselves feel better about gambling, because you don't know, you know, what the value of it is. It's just like, you know, everybody who says, oh, well, you know, in 1996, I could have bought Apple stock. And it's just like, yeah, in 1996, you wouldn't have touched Apple stock.
Because yeah, you would have said, in 1996, like, you could have bought pets.com stock.
Right. And, you know, and the one good thing about at least those stock, the letters of ownership that you get from stock, is you could burn it to keep warm. Can't do that with Bitcoin.
I mean, you can if you put it on an older machine and do Bitcoin calculations on it, it'll totally keep you warm. It
yeah,
the thing light on fry. Fire.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man. So, all right. So, like, well, going back to this NFT thing, just because, like, I am, I always have this feeling where, like, if I don't understand what the hustle is, then I'm the mark. And I kind of feel that way with NFT right now.
I feel that way about a lot of things. Like, I'm finally to the point where I can invest without, like, a fear of losing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still the fact that it's truthfully intimidating. Mm-hmm. And you hear all these people come out and talk, these Bitcoin experts, these NFT experts, talking about how much money you can make and everything. And they never seem to focus on how much you could lose.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, to the point that you were making earlier, it's just like, I think there's way too much volatility with a lot of these things. Like, and also, like, I think about how maybe being locked up away for the past year is kind of making us very susceptible to these kinds of, like, weird swings and like, I don't want to say. Oh, what's the word I'm looking for here? Like, these swings in fad investment models and financial instruments. I don't know if just kind of being cut off from everyone else is making us think that, well, this is a totally viable thing. Why not? You know, you figure, I know I personally over the last year have become, and let me just say, embarrassingly dependent on, you know, services where I have an unknown face pick out my groceries and deliver them to my door and prepare food and deliver it to my door. I wonder if there's some, like, this is giving people an outlet where they feel like they're part of something.
I think that's what it is, because you saw that a lot with the GameStop thing. Mm-hmm. It transcended the stock and everything. It was more about banding together and sticking it to Wall Street,
right,
which we all know was just a myth. But that idea took hold. That idea really rooted with people.
Yeah, and you know, and I don't think, you know, like, I'm not saying it's bad or that we shouldn't find things that we can kind of congregate and get behind. But I just, you know, I'm just worried about, like, you know, worried about how much, you know, how many people are putting down money that they really can't afford to lose, thinking that this is going to be, you know, the thing that jumps them off into the stratosphere of living a good life.
You see that over and over again, though. It's manipulation. Like, mm-hmm. the people that really can afford to lose, throw $1 million in and lose it.
Yeah.
They don't care about these people that are worried about paying off their student loans or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And that kind of become, they kind of, going back to your previous thing about Marx, the people that are looking to make a quick buck, or maybe need to make a quick buck, make for easy marks.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, you prey on the desperation, I guess. You know, like, I will say this, though. It's interesting to see how our very notion of what's valuable is being challenged, like, in real time. Like, I don't think we've seen anything like this at this scale in our lifetime, right? You know, what's the last time you've in your life, have you seen that the very notion of what is something of value, or even, you know, how we're supposed to work, be challenged, right? I've never seen anything quite like it in my lifetime. And as far as I can tell, you know, even like my parents and people older can't say that they've seen anything quite like it either. So it's interesting to see how it all shakes out.
You know, kind of thinking about it, one of the things that this actually makes me think of now is, you remember I remember we talked about Wonder Woman 84.
Mm-hmm.
But Maxwell Lord, his idea in the movie to, like, enrich people and buy them in into the whole thing being a scam, it makes me feel the same way things like NFT and Bitcoin and all that do.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it definitely has that kind of, there's a certain almost cultish allure to it. And, you know, when you're in it, you're in it. Like, you know, you don't really see, you don't see, like, the warning signs. You don't see the red flags because you're in it. You know, whether it means you're winning or losing. Like, if you're winning, you're winning. But if you're losing, you're not necessarily ready to admit that. So it's very interesting. Like, I think that's a really good connection.
And then you see people even in our life who kind of take advantage of that anyway. Like,
oh, yeah.
I hate to talk about him so much. I hate how much mental energy I give him. I do. But I want to say his name again. Elon Musk.
Oh, God.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, geez, yeah, he is a dumpster fire of a guy to get behind. Like, I cannot get behind half the shit this guy says.
Like, even now, he's talking about NFT. He produced music about NFT that he's selling as an NFT.
Of course he is. Of course he is.
And.
Oh, God. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't help myself. I had to Google it when you said that. So,
because it's one of those things that sounds too absurd to be true.
No, this sounds like the most on-brand thing for Elon Musk. Like, honestly, this guy, like, the narcissism is amazing.
I just don't understand his goal. It's like, going back to what you said a second ago, he's not selling Teslas anymore. Because Teslas can be kind of cool. I will admit it.
Listen, if I had the garage to, you know, power my Tesla when I wasn't driving it, I would absolutely own a Tesla. Why not?
I've seriously considered it. I have, looking at the Model 3. Had had Ford not been fucking Ford, I actually may have got a Model 3, but I was so far underwater with my useless freaking car. But whatever, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, but you know what, though? It's a perfectly solid car. Like, it's a solid car. I like, you know, the idea of not necessarily having a gas guzzler, you know, in the driveway or whatever. But yeah, like, Elon Musk has not sold Tesla since he you know, since Tesla went public. Like, that's just the truth. He's moved on long ago. And I think we're just seeing him just literally throwing shit against the wall, seeing what sticks.
If anything, the only reason I wouldn't want a Tesla would be because of Elon Musk. I would not want someone to see my car and to think he's a Musk fanboy or what the fuck ever.
Well, you know, there's a lot of them out there. You know, I'm sure
there really are. And I don't want to be associated with them. I don't want to ever be completely engrossed into someone's cult of personality, because that's what it is a cult of personality.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Man, like, that is wild, man. Like, first it was the dog coin thing. You know, well, you know what? Honestly, I think Elon Musk he's a literal troll with the money and influence to make a difference.
I think that's what it is. And I don't have time for trolls anymore. Even like when I'm on social media or something and someone starts trolling, it's just instant block. I don't even want to give them the mental energy. So the fact that one has an inescapable platform is just infuriating to me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's one of those things where, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the orange one that shall not be named. You know, he hijacked our attention spans for 4 years. Well, 6 years, but 4 years, where it was just completely inescapable. And we've replaced one narcissist with another.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Elon Musk is going to run for office, isn't he?
I'm pretty sure he, you know what? He might be smart enough not to.
I don't know, but he is narcissistic enough to want to.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yeah, like, that's, you know what? I'm going to probably regret this, but I will see if I can make like a last minute March Madness bracket of all the potential billionaires who see themselves important enough to be "quote unquote" president of the United States.
Well, you have Mark Cuban.
Mm-hmm.
You have Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm. And who's the guy? Schultz, the Starbucks guy.
He
Bezos
did.
For sure. Yeah, no, he did. But like, would he do it again?
No, he wouldn't do it again. He was a non-starter.
We know, was it Andrew Yang?
And then
he's running for New York City.
And then Bezos, and then Jeff Bezos won't, just because his name isn't associated with good things mostly.
When has that stopped anyone from running for office?
But even Trump had that image, like, of opulence and everything.
I gotta say, like, it's a very different perception when you're from New York, because Trump was always kind of seen as a huckster. Like, locally, okay, it was just like everyone knew that he was doing that PR game where he would impersonate a publicist just to get his name in the paper.
Okay, I will admit that as from the rest of the country, I'd always associated his name with the tacky opulence.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess as a New Yorker, you do have a different view.
Yeah, it's like, it's funny because like one of the most New York things that I saw during the re-election campaign and before there was a clear Democratic nominee was when, you know, when Mike Bloomberg was asked about, well, you know, what can you possibly say against like one of your billionaire pals in Trump? And he was just like, yo, we've never seen him at the same party, so I don't know who you're talking about. And that was true. Like there is a difference. Like Bloomberg gets invited to parties that Trump only dreamed of getting into.
That's fair, but fuck Bloomberg too. Mr. Stop and Frisk.
Yeah, like, no, he was trash for a number of reasons. But, like, you know, but it, again, it's just kind of like this there was like that disconnect between what Trump was able to sell outside of New York that he wasn't able to sell in New York. Doesn't mean that there weren't people who absolutely were behind him. You know, shout out to the Police Benevolence Association who supported Trump. So, okay. Yeah.
I appreciate that. But speaking of politicians in New York, you knew this was coming.
Oh, boy.
But your governor, Andrew, man. Why is he still in office?
Two reasons. And I hope the latter be the right one. Because you either die a hero or you live long enough to become the villain. And the other option is because he's going to be the governor who's going to make recreational marijuana legal in the state.
And I thought y'all had voted for recreational marijuana.
We have, but we haven't been able to pass it into law. So we've done the referendum. We haven't been able to get it through Albany.
Interesting. I thought the referendum was binding. I wasn't sure.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
It decriminalized marijuana.
Okay.
But that's not the same as legalizing.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I just misremembered. Like,
yeah. It's, you know, we weren't allowed to vote on the legality of it. We were allowed to vote on decriminalization, which, okay, you know, it only makes sense because it's like, you know, again, I do not smoke. I do not partake, but I will say this. It's I don't think it's right that, you know, people went to jail for 15, 20, 25 years because they smoked weed more than once.
Well, even down here in Georgia, I guess, a lot of police districts has never been officially decriminalized, but a lot of police districts have openly admitted that they're deprioritizing marijuana stops.
That's basically. Great, man. That's great. It, like, honestly, I know it doesn't sound like a big push, but it is a step in the right direction. And, you know, just recognizing the fact that, you know, this isn't a violent criminal act goes a long way because, you know, ultimately that does shape how people interact with this when they come across it. Right. Growing up in the 80s and 90s, you know, the war on drugs was a real thing. You know, like it was something that, like, I remember being in elementary school and they would have an actual police officer try to like scare you straight at like the age of 8.
You know, I remember those dare. Did y'all have dare classes in New York too?
Oh yeah, there was dare classes in New York. It was a federal program.
I couldn't remember if it was federal or done at a state level. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, so. Yeah. No, it was a real thing, man. Like, and it's wild because like, if you think about, if you could remember some of the things that they were teaching and obviously I do not remember what they were teaching. I only know this from, again, the good old internet, where they would show some of like the curriculum that they were teaching, with the DARE program. That shit is wild. It's like, it's wild races. It was like, it's a nightmare. But yeah, Cuomo, you know, this is going to sound really bad, and I don't know how much of this is legit and how much of this is like kind of political comeuppance for being for basically like being a good leader but a bad politician. And I am being very, very generous with that oversimplification. But everyone forgets that a year ago when there were people literally piling up in the back of U-Hauls, he was the only one in government that had the balls to say, okay, enough's enough. We're not going to just keep shit open, despite the various lobbying powers in the state of New York that were pushing to the contrary. And specifically, the hospitality industry, the entertainment industry. So, you know, I would like to see the, I would like to know what happens as a result of the various investigations that are ongoing. Do I think he should step down? Honestly, I don't know. I don't see who would do the necessary work when they when push comes to shove. And right now it's easy to say, well, oh, well, we can handle it because everyone sees the light at the end of the tunnel with vaccinations.
How's New York doing with the vaccine rollout?
So the vaccine rollout in New York, we've gotten, I believe we're up to four mass vaccination sites. We have the Javits. There's one in the Bronx. I can't remember where exactly. There's Medgar Evers College in Brooklyn and another in Queens. So, you know, I believe the last number was something in the neighborhood of 200,000 a day in the five boroughs. I could be wrong. It might be more.
Are you able to? Have they opened up registration enough for people like you yet? Or
so I very narrowly make the list. But you know, we're still looking at like a month and a half out. And the priority goes to, I believe, school teachers, first responders, and then people with underlying conditions. And like the underlying conditions changes, like I want to say week to week, because they're like, it started out with people with like a very dire need. And then it kind of went down to, okay, so it's like all these people who are at risk of dying just because of their current medical conditions. Then there's just more like lifestyle conditions, like, you know, like type 2 diabetes and some like obesity and some other factors. So like it's changing and it's expanding.
Same in Georgia. It's opened up a lot. I'm too healthy to be in any of the lists now.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and that's also the other thing. Like I've, you know, some recent health wins have meant that I go down to the bottom of the list.
That's the way I am too. I'm pretty much at the bottom, but I'm excited because there's the talk of by May, most people should be able to. So that's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I think, you know, and it's funny that we were talking about the vaccine, because there are some things that I am a little bit worried about. So today I saw a news report. Jersey City, which is our neighbor to the west, they're getting very aggressive with their vaccination program. In fact, they recently announced that they are mandating it for anyone who works for basically for the municipality of Jersey City. So if you're a city employee, if you want to keep your job, you have to be vaccinated. Now,
I'm actually surprised we haven't seen more businesses do that though. Like, even I guess maybe once the vaccines roll out wide. But I wouldn't be surprised if even business is like, hey, you go get vaccinated, we'll give you a $100 bonus or some shit.
Yeah. And, you know, like, but there's a difference between incentivizing it and making it kind of mandatory. Well, not kind of mandatory, saying that you cannot keep your job unless you do this thing. And, you know, and the truth is that, like, it's a little bit, I think it's counterproductive to do those types of things. Like, incentivizing, sure. Because, you know, like you want buy-in from the public, but if you kind of give this kind of, you know, I'm like God speaking down onto the people saying you must do this, you're going to get a lot of pushback. And I think that's what you're seeing in Jersey City. Like, there's a lot of pushback from a lot of those same city employees that are, that feel as if their rights are being trampled on. And like, that's a really, really, in my opinion, that's a really sticky subject to get into, because it's just like, on the one hand, yes, public safety is important, and we should make sure that as many people as humanly possible can get vaccinated within a close amount of time so that we can move past this weird spot where we are in life. But at the same time, it's just like, you're doing no favors, especially with communities of color, by mandating this thing that, oh, you must, or you won't be able to, you know, earn your bread. And I think that's where things get a little bit dicey.
Yeah, I really hope that doesn't expand, because you're right. Even if everybody thinks it's a good idea, by the time you say you have to do this, even yeah, just phrasing it like that changes people's perception of it.
Yeah, it then brings up a whole bunch. It makes a lot of like a lot of the conspiracy theories sound plausible. You know, like and that's what you don't want to do. Like, and that's something that I feel like we haven't seemed to have learned from the 4-year nightmare that we know is 45.
I just hope we get to see it incentivized in more places, because that is what we need, is yeah, an incentive.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Like, honestly, now between us, I'm pretty sure that, you know, we have every intention of doing this thing. But if your employer said, hey, you know what, Paul, we want you to get this thing done now. So we're, you know, you get it done, we're going to give you an extra, you know, $250 in your check. Are you going to turn it down?
I'd be like, give me that phone, I'll make a call now.
Yeah, but you know, but then the flip side is, if your employer turned around and said, all right, everyone, by show of hands, if you didn't get vaccinated, you know, raise your hand and clear your desk, like, that's going to not have the same effect. You're not going to get more people signing up because they're going to be afraid of losing their job. They'll challenge you. And I think we're at a point, like, as a society, where someone is waiting to be in that situation just so they can sue.
And I don't even know how that case will go, though, because that is a legitimate point.
Yeah, it's honestly, it'll go either way. It can very much go either way. And all you need is someone to have a solid First Amendment claim. Like, whether it be, if they, like, and if I'm misspeaking, I will apologize, and I probably should look into this before saying it. But I believe Jehovah's Witnesses are, do not get vaccinations of any kind. So, you know, if you were to have a city employee that who happens to be Jehovah's Witness, and you tell them, if you don't get vaccinated, you're out of a job, they can very much claim, you know, a religious, a violation against their religious belief. You know, so are you then going to, you know, make exceptions? And if you do, you know, how does, you know, that's where you get into a lot of trouble, especially with something as important as this. So I'm all for incentivizing. I am not with the mandates.
Like, interestingly enough, I do know this only because I had a great aunt that was Jehovah's Witness. Mm-hmm. Jehovah's Witnesses are no longer against vaccinations. They used to be, but in like the 60s, they changed it. Oh, they are still against blood transfusions, though.
No, oh, good to know. Well, thank you for correcting me. I didn't know that. But yeah, like, I do know that there are like religious exemptions to a number of things. But yeah, so I learned something new today. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, you're welcome. I only knew that because of family. Otherwise, I'd have been like, yeah, you're right. But
yeah, no, like I said, like, I'm very quick to say I had no idea. but I'm gonna like steer the conversation away from you know, vaccines and something a little too heady there. I remember we were recently talking about gaming, and, you know, just kind of how hard it, well, we, in our last episode, we were talking about just how terrible trying to get a PlayStation 5 was. And, you know, obviously when we ask some of our friends, like, they kind of always point to, well, why are you playing on a console? You could just make a kick-ass gaming PC and be good. So let me just first say by that, no, that's never going to happen. So I'm sorry. Like, there's a number of reasons why. Mostly I don't have the time. But recently I did receive a SteelSeries Aerox 3 wireless gaming mouse to test. And I must say that it is one of the best pieces of equipment that I've used for productivity, not for gaming, which I think is both hilarious and kind of ironic. Do you use much like gaming PC hardware?
I don't know if it's technically a gamer one. I have one of the Logitech Master Series mouses that has the extra, the macro keys and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I have them programmed to do some things. It's no, not really a game.
Yeah, I think like the Master Series might be a gaming. I don't know. It's funny.
I'm not sure if it's actually considered a gaming series mouse, but mm-hmm. it's just a really nice mouse.
Oh, okay. Is that one of like those like funky ergonomic ones? Like that they like kind of, I don't know how to describe them. Like they're more like
it has concave. Like this. It kind of looks like a wave. That's the way I always picture it. Is it like picture a wave?
Okay.
And then you kind of slide your thumb in there, and it's nice.
Nice. Yeah. So it's funny because like you know any gaming mouse worth its salt, I think, has a number of buttons, most of them programmable. And I've definitely been using that. What I like about this one specifically is that it actually works on a Mac. So I use a Mac both as a personal computer and as my work computer. And I've paired the mouse with my work computer. So now my little corner battle station is a Keychron wireless mechanical keyboard and this Aerox wireless gaming mouse. And honestly, it's just fantastic. You know, being able to set macros to make a lot of my work a lot easier has been so clutch. And setup was a breeze. Like I honestly can't say, and I can't say anything bad about it. The only thing that doesn't really work for me is that currently I'm not able to modify the RGB lighting on it without plugging it into the computer, which kind of defeats the purpose. But, you know, I guess I can live with it. If there was an easy way to turn off the lighting, that'd be even better.
Lighting makes it better.
I know. It makes it that's what makes it a more powerful mouse, right?
Exactly.
So, I was telling my coworker recently that the whole point of the LED lighting, the RGB lighting, is to improve the performance of your machine. Like, so if you want to, you know, make your MacBook Air into a gaming powerhouse, just put some LED lighting around it and you'll be good to go.
Solid strategy.
So I've been kind of testing that out. We'll definitely have like a full review of it on the website. But for right now, like I gotta say, oh, here's the other thing. It is the lightest mouse I have ever used. Like the lightest mouse I've ever used. And I always used to think that having like the weighted mouse was a more comfortable thing. I will have to disagree. I may have to like put that up to the test because I never realized how much weight I put on a mouse until I picked this thing up. Like it is super lightweight.
Okay, I'm actually curious to use that in practice then because I always like a little heft to my mouses. My mice.
Yeah, I think mouse.
I don't know. I don't know the plural of
of computer mice.
Yeah.
But no, I think you would be very, very I don't know, like, surprise. I think surprise would be, like, the initial, like, because that was my initial gut reaction. When I picked the thing up, I literally kind of did, like, one of these, like, where you just, like, yank up, not realizing that you don't need that much strength to pick the thing up. Like, I was just genuinely surprised. It feels like nothing. Even compared to, like this Apple mouse, like, you know, which, by the way, they're terrible. Don't use Apple mice. You know, even compared to that, like the SteelSeries mouse is actually lighter than the Apple mouse. So it's really amazing to see that.
You said it was the SteelSeries Archon series?
Aerox, I believe.
Aerox, okay.
Hold on. I'll make sure to put something in the show notes for those who might be interested. And yeah, so I have the Aerox 3 wireless one. Yep. And again, it's super, super lightweight. And just kind of as a added benefit, it you know, readily connects to my Mac. So, you know, that's just, you know, that's just a plus. Before that, like, you know, I've used the Marathon 705, I believe it was. You know, I call it like your desk jockey staple, which is fine enough. But again, it's just like you have to connect dongles. You know, the software doesn't really, like, was no longer supported in Big Sur. You know, like a lot of like the macro functionality I lost when I updated my machines. So like just being able to kind of get like that functionality back, not have to have, you know, one of the USB or Thunderbolt ports in use. You know, it's just, yeah, man, it's been a game changer for me personally. Just because it keeps everything very neat and clean, and also affords me the ability to just kind of move around a little bit easier.
You actually made me curious about it, and I looked it up, but I'm not spending $100 on a mouse, so cool.
Not spending $100 on a mouse? I don't blame you. Like, you know, like it's one of those things where, like, honestly, if I didn't get one in for review, I probably would not spend $100 on a mouse.
Yeah.
Like, I think honestly, like $50-$60 is like my comfort level.
That's the same. I'm not going to pay. I couldn't justify double that.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, but I will say this, like, you know, from using it, if, you know, if you're a gamer, like, I think $100 is kind of like the mid tier for it. Like, whereas like, you know, like a $50 mouse would be considered like going cheap. So I guess it really depends on like what you're using it for.
After using it, would you pay $100 on it?
I think it'd be worth it.
Okay.
I think it honestly, and again, this is, me as a Mac user having very, very few options that are, number one, connect, natively to the, Bluetooth on the computer. And two, has the ability to map your buttons the way you would want to. Like,
okay.
Like the other option, I think, is one of like the MX series Logitech mouse. One of those like higher end ones. So like, I think it's like the one that's like $100 is the one that works with the Mac. And I feel like part of it is kind of like, that same Apple tax. Like, it's not just Apple that introduces the Apple tax. Others take advantage of it too.
They do, because they know the Apple guys will pay for it, basically.
Yeah, like, no fanboys offense. Are fanboys gonna find fanboy. Like, that's that goes without saying. Like, I honestly, I have the MacBook Pro because my job gave me an option of that, or a more rundown Windows computer, so obviously I chose the better Mac. And by rundown, I mean like probably like a very heavy 15-inch Lenovo. And yeah, just didn't want to do that.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
So, but yeah, like, you know, beyond that, it's just like whatever works. One last thing I wanted to just kind of put out there in terms of stuff coming up for the site. I've been using the Pluto trigger. It's a photography peripheral. Basically what it is, it's a quote unquote smart trigger, that you connect to your camera, your DSLR, and, it wirelessly syncs with your mobile device, Android, iPhone, whatever. And basically the idea is that it adds a lot of, smart features that are common in a lot of mid to prosumer grade camera bodies today, except that it adds those those features and functionality to your maybe older camera. So what I've been doing is I've been using the Pluto trigger with my Fuji X-Pro1. So for context, the X-Pro1 is going on 10 years old. I believe it was 2014 when it was introduced. So yeah, a 7-year-old camera that doesn't have any kind of automated like HDR. You can't do the bracketing, you can't do stop motion video, you can't necessarily do time lapses in body. These are all things that obviously newer cameras have that are pretty much available out the box. But you know, if you have a perfectly good X-Pro1, like in my case, or a older like Canon T6 or T5 even, you can get these features that you would otherwise have to buy a brand new thing for a lot less. I'm very, very happy that I'm able to kind of breathe new life into some of those older camera bodies because, you know, we've spoken about this before. I really don't want to create any more trash in the world as much as possible. So, like, in that respect, I guess I am a hippie just like you, Paul.
No, I've always liked things that kind of breathe life into old tech. That seems like a really clever way of doing it, because you're not an 7-year-old DSLR is still going to take some incredible pictures
for sure. I mean, you so know, you're like, not, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So all you're gaining from the new cameras is some functionality. So as long as you're able to kind of find ways to bridge that gap, so to speak, no reason to spend $5,000 or $7,000 on a new piece of equipment when you find a third-party solution.
Yeah, I mean, even if you weren't going to spend that much money, right? So, like, even if you were going to get, like, some sort of middle-of-the-road consumer hobbyist-type camera, like, you're still spending anywhere from, like, $700 to $1,000. Meanwhile, the Pluto Trigger, I believe it's $100.
Wow, you can't beat that.
Yeah, so it's like... it doesn't make sense to trash a perfectly good camera, especially something that you're not necessarily, you never like really put to the best of use when it was new. So, you know, I think this is a really good alternative to, you know, buying a new camera unnecessarily. Like if all you're going to do is, $120, by the way. But, you know, again, $120, $700 to $1,000. It's kind of a no-brainer. But again, it's just like, you know, if all you really need is like maybe one or two additional features, maybe the best thing is a solution like this instead of, blowing that stimulus check and buying a new camera.
Hey, way to bring it back.
There you go. Speaking of stimulus checks, again, I think we're getting to that point. I won't even get into that one. But I'm at the point where I am. My bed is calling me, Paul.
I'm at the point where my bed is calling me as well. I'm not. It's already past my bedtime. I won't even lie.
Awesome. All right, Paul. So we're gonna bring this one in. Paul, let everybody know where they could find you.
I'm at Combs Paul on Twitter, and just tweet way too many movie opinions. That's really all I tweet.
Awesome. Oh, you know what? Here's something that, you know, I got to ask you for the next episode. Just something to keep in mind. Did you watch WandaVision?
Yes. Actually, I meant to talk about that this episode. I just kind of, I don't know. I have fun talking with you, so I just kind of forgot.
Yeah, like I will do my best to catch up on WandaVision. I waited for the series to be over because I knew I wanted to binge it. So, yeah.
I wanted to wait for it to be over, but people on the internet suck. So I just wanted to watch it. That way people didn't spoil it for me.
Okay. So give everybody a little teaser about WandaVision. Like your one sentence hot take on the series.
It ends a little weaker than it begins, but it's still worth a watch.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. That's a good one, actually. I really want to hear more about this. All right. So next episode, WandaVision. As for my sign off, thanks again, everyone, for listening. You can find me on Twitter. Actually, I'm not going to tell you where you can find me. I'm going to tell you where you can find the show. Find the show at Noisecast on Twitter and Facebook, at The Noisecast on Instagram. You can also be sure to find us on your podcast app of choice. I cannot talk because I am exhausted. That's the problem. So you can find us on your podcast app of choice. We're on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Podbean, and I believe Pandora. Yes, Pandora. Is that like the bastard child of podcasting? No one really listens to Pandora podcasts. Anyway,
actually, I didn't even know Pandora had podcasts. So yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We love you, Pandora. So you know, go to Pandora. Like, show the bastard stepchild some love. We are never going to get paid to do this, Paul. Just letting you know that from now.
I don't really care. I actually just have fun talking with you. I don't. Our conversation with you are a little different. Most of my real life friends don't know tech as well as you do. So it's just fun.
Yeah, it's always a good time. You know, I appreciate like the conversations as well. And if you appreciate the conversations as well, make sure to give us a follow, give us a like, let your friends know, let your barista, your server know, tip well, please don't be that person. And we will see you next time. Also, if you really want to support the podcast, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/thenoisecast. Drop some change. We'll give you a shout out. This month we're shouting out Sinead Flowers, so thank you for that contribution. Thank you all for listening, and we will talk soon. Peace.